Well, we've already talked about number 11, but let me say it again. Keep a teachable spirit. Ask God for a friend or a wife who will be totally and ruthlessly honest with you. For example, ask them to help you eliminate mannerisms or habits that may be distracting from the message. Now, let me caution you about something. If everybody in your life is just always telling you how wonderful you are, and always telling you all the good things you've done, and never seem to ever say anything that might be considered critical, never telling you things you might want to consider changing, never telling you things that might make you a more effective minister, you're in trouble. You desperately need someone, and I would like to think that maybe God would give you a wife who would be ruthlessly honest with you. And you need to receive that well. They're going to help you find areas in your life that are your blind spots. I'm telling you, you've got blind spots. You don't do everything perfectly right. We all have blind spots. Every one of us do. So you need to beg and plead with your wife or with your mentor or somebody, please help me see these things. Please don't let me get by with doing things, saying things, acting in ways that are distracting from the ministry, that are not bringing glory to God. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to get it right. And God will use other people. Don't you dare get to the point where you think that you are so close to God that you don't need what anybody else has to say to you. That's a horrible mistake. Stay teachable. We've also talked about number 12, but I want to elaborate on it. Ask God for a mentor, a wise man who's been in the ministry for many years, who's willing to spend time with you and give you his best counsel. Now, the best mentor that you can find is probably a man who's very, very, very busy. But most godly older men are thrilled to be able to build into the lives of younger men who are really serious about their walk with the Lord. You'll have to be wise about the way you handle it. Maybe you could offer to take him out to eat, and maybe you could compile a list of questions. Don't expect him to be available on call all the time. He may or may not be able to. Depends on his life situation. But if he's a good mentor, you may only be able to sit down with him once or twice a month and say, here are my questions, you know, and I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this subject, and kind of have your agenda prepared. Maybe give it to him in advance and then sit down and talk about those things and get wisdom from this man. Consider it a great blessing from God to have a mentor who really loves Jesus, who's grown strong in the Lord through the years, and who's willing to spend some time with you. Pray for a man like that. Number 13 can be a pitfall for some young ministers. 13 says, find the balance between learning from other preachers and trying to be exactly like them. Remember that God's created you to be a very unique preacher. Don't try too hard to be exactly like someone else. Now, it's inevitable, I think, for most younger preachers to have role models, men whom they admire. They like the way they preach. They like the way they minister. They like the way they carry themselves. And so they try to imitate these guys. And a certain amount of that is good. I mean, if they're pleasing God in their behavior and their messages and the way they conduct their lives, learn from them. Learn from their example. That's a great thing. But sometimes it's tempting to go too far and start trying too hard to imitate them, including their voice inflection, the way they say words, the way they put their sentences together. And you almost become a caricature of that guy, and you're not really being yourself. God wants you to be yourself. Learn from these guys, but don't try too hard to be just exactly like them. That's a mistake. We've also already covered number 14. Let me read it quickly. Realize that different preachers have different gifts and will therefore have different emphases in the ministry. One of the most frustrating things in the world is trying to imitate the ministry of someone who has a different spiritual gift than your own gift. That happened to me early in the ministry. There was a man that I was learning from who had the gift of administration and organization. I did not have that gift. Now, it was a good thing for me to learn some things about administration and learn some things about organization from him. But to think that I could operate like he did was foolish. I could not. Other people might try to imitate an exhorter, and to learn from an exhorter is one thing, but to be an exhorter is something entirely different. So it can be very frustrating to you if you're trying to imitate another pastor's gift when you don't have that gift. So ask God to help you understand what your spiritual gift is. Make that your main thrust of ministry, is operating in your gift. On my website, aboundinjoy.com, there's some podcasts. You'll find them there, a series of podcasts on spiritual gifts that may help you. Number 15 says, carry breath mints. It's a shame when you're trying to talk to somebody about something serious that they can't hear what you're saying very well because they're trying to stay out of the way of your breath because it's so strong. And especially right after you've preached or right after you've been singing and your mouth is dry, can be very, very painful. So carry breath mints and use them frequently. And let your wife help you here too. She can tell you when you need a breath mint if you happen to forget. But try not to forget. Number 16 says, develop a strategy for counseling. Learn how to be a good listener. Learn how to take good notes. Learn what scriptures can help the most when people come to you with problems. If you're really trying to walk with the Lord and you're trying to help people by ministering the scriptures to them, from time to time people will come to you for advice and for counsel. And it's probably a good idea to say, look, I'm not a professional counselor. I'm just trying to help you as a Christian brother here. In the lawsuit age we live in, if you hold yourself up as a professional counselor, I guess you could open yourself for some liability lawsuits of some kind if they think you've given bad counsel and you represented yourself as a professional counselor. But you can still be a godly, biblical counselor, a brother in the Lord. A big part of that is learning how to listen real well. What will happen to you over a period of time, it happens to most of us, is we begin to identify certain problems that kind of keep cropping up in people's lives over and over and over. So when we hear the first little bit of information, we say, oh yeah, I've got that one pigeonholed. I know what that problem is. And we'll start talking a little too quickly. It's better to be a good listener. And while you're listening, take notes. Write things down and ask clarifying questions. Why did you say that? Or wait a minute, I'm not putting this together. What did you mean by that? Or what you just said didn't make sense to me. Would you say that again? Those kind of things. Get it clarified so you understand what they're saying. Jot down some notes. And then learn what scriptures are most helpful for different kinds of problems that come up often in people's lives. One of the best bits of counsel you can give people is to encourage them, if they're serious about conquering a problem, memorize some scripture. Memorize the Bible. God's Word will help you overcome problems. Many people prove they're not serious when they just won't do it. They won't discipline themselves to memorize a little scripture, and it shows they're just kind of wanting to cry on your shoulder. They're not really wanting help with conquering the problem. Let me also recommend a man named Jay Adams, has written some books several decades ago now, called Competent to Counsel and A Christian Counselor's Manual. Both those have some very valuable helps to give people biblical advice, biblical counsel based on the kinds of problems they're having. So you might want to check those out. One other thing I'll say about counseling is I've been most successful at helping people when I've done team counseling. In other words, maybe my wife, especially if I'm counseling a woman, I want my wife to be there. Or even when you're counseling another man, it's good to have somebody there with you so that they can be praying while you're listening and talking, and maybe they'll have something to say and you can collect your thoughts and think about what's going on and kind of be an observer for a little while. And it just kind of helps. I think it gives the Holy Spirit a chance to work through both of you. And as a team, you can maybe help people better than you can as an individual. Number 17, learn how to rejoice when God seems to be blessing others more than He seems to be blessing you. Jealousy can be a huge problem in a ministry, and especially if you feel like, man, I have been working so hard, and I've been praying so hard, and I've been studying really well, and I've been trying to be faithful to the Lord, and this old boy over here doesn't seem to be putting much energy into it, and yet God seems to be blessing him, and he's doing well financially, and his church is growing, and he's baptizing all these people, and he doesn't even seem to be that serious about it, and it's very frustrating. And what God wants you to do is rejoice if the guy's preaching the true gospel, if the guy's preaching the truth. He just wants you to rejoice for that guy and thank God that he's blessing him. God may know that if he blessed you in the same way, you'd get proud or puffed up or arrogant or you wouldn't be able to handle it well. He's got a purpose in what he's doing. He's blessing you in ways that you may not be able to quite comprehend yet, but someday you will. So just be thankful. God's blessing you the way He wants to bless you. He's blessing them the way He wants to bless them, and don't be jealous of their blessings. Thank God for what He's doing through them. Number 18, spend time listening to great preachers. There's absolutely no excuse nowadays for not doing that. With podcasting, I mean, if you've got a computer or if you've got an iPad or an iPod or a smartphone, there are so many wonderful ways to hear good preaching. So pick out some great preachers who've been doing it for many, many years that you can draw wisdom from and listen to them. Make time to listen to them. Now, I got to warn you, there's some bad ones out there too. There's some ones out there that are doctrinally ruinous. So be careful. Maybe you could talk with your mentor and he could help you. And if you, I don't have time to go into it here, but if you need help learning how to listen to podcasts, of course you can listen to a lot of them on iTunes, and there are other podcast apps. I've got one called Beyond Pod that I use. There are many others. If you need help about setting up podcasting, let me know. I'll be glad to try to help you. Number 19, practice reading the Bible out loud, especially the passage you intend to read in your next message. You've probably heard preachers who can't read very well, who didn't pay attention well when they were in school, didn't learn how to pronounce the words very well, and they stumble and they struggle with reading. Now, I understand some people can read better than others, but there's no excuse for staying where you are. If you don't read well, practice reading until you can read well, especially the passage you're going to be preaching from. Be able to pronounce the words right. Now, I know there's some words in the Bible that none of us really know how to pronounce, you know, and you'll just have to guess at those. Don't be intimidated. Just do the best you can, and don't worry about those tough names. But learn how to emphasize the words correctly. Learn how to read the Bible with emphasis so people can hear God speaking through His Word and not be confused because you're emphasizing the wrong words or you're not. It's evidently not in your heart and mind what God's really saying there. Think about it, practice it until you can read it well and honor God by reading His Word well. Number 20, find a place to get alone and practice preaching out loud. The great preachers of the past and the present have done this. Billy Graham used to get on a stump in the woods and he would envision a congregation and he would preach to them out there in the woods. It can be very effective in helping you figure out where your weak areas are in the message. And you might even want to record it and listen to it. Most guys find that very difficult. They don't want to hear themselves. They don't like the way they sound. Well, get over it. Listen to yourself anyway and critique yourself and learn how to do it better. You may never really like the way you're doing it, but you can do it better than you are now. You know, you can get better at communicating, better at saying the words, getting rid of mannerisms, getting rid of the you knows, getting rid of the uhs, you know, those kind of things. I just said a you know. Did you notice that? If you practice preaching out loud, you'll get better at it. Number 21, learn to vary the pace and volume of your voice in order to use it to communicate most effectively. I've heard preachers, I'm sure you have too, who develop kind of a sing-song pattern. And they emphasize the same syllable over and over and over. It may not be a word that needs to be emphasized, it just happens to be that syllable that they're emphasizing. So their voice goes high and then low, high and then low, high and then low. But it's not to emphasize words, it's just an automatic pattern they've gotten into. And it's almost hypnotic, but it does not help people hear the message. So ask God to help you here and work at it, practice it. There are times when you need to speed up a little bit. There are times when you need to slow down and emphasize every single word so that people will get the point you're making. There are other times when you need to be a little louder, other times a little quieter. But if you've just got one volume and it's loud all the time, you're not emphasizing anything. So you say, well, that sounds like a lot of work. Yes, it is. Preaching is not easy. It's hard work. It takes a lot of practice, a lot of study, a lot of thinking. Don't just get up there and let something come out of you without giving God a chance to teach you how to do it well. Learn from God. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. But discipline yourself. Remember, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Discipline, self-control. Learn how to do it right. Number 22 says, remember, a preacher who's one step ahead of his people will be a leader. A preacher who's two steps ahead of his people will be a martyr. Now, that's just an old saying that has a little bit of truth in it that I'd like for you to consider. I've known pastors who come into a new church and they just change everything immediately, radically. So I'm going to put my imprint here. This is going to be my church. I want my signature. I'm getting rid of everything old. I think personally that's a tragic mistake. If you want to lead people, you lead them more gently. You start where they are. You stay ahead of them. You lead them in the direction the Lord wants them to go. But if you try to go too far too fast, you're just going to create frustration, and they're going to be upset, and they're just going to think, man, we got to get rid of this guy. He's gone crazy. So say, Lord, show me which step to lead now, right now, until we get there, and then show me the next step until we get there, and then show me the next step until we get there. It's a step-by-step thing. Don't get too far ahead. Ask God to give you wisdom here. Number 23. Try to surround yourself and work closely with people who have spiritual gifts that are different from yours so that you can complement each other in getting God's work done. It's very common for a church, especially if the same pastor stays in the church for many years, which I think is a wonderful thing. I think it's a great thing for pastors to stay there. But it's very common for example, if he's a teacher, if he has the gift of teaching, other people have the gift of teaching will gravitate to him, and that church may get a little top-heavy with teachers. Or if he's a prophet, the church may get a little top-heavy with prophets. Or if he's a very merciful guy, the church may get a little top-heavy with merciful people. So when you figure out what your gift is, if it's teaching, for example, I would work very hard and pray very hard that God would give you people, close associates, who have the other gifts. For example, you need someone with a gift of prophecy who can stand firm on what's right and what's wrong and stand firm against sin and take a strong stand when it's important to take a strong stand and encourage you to do that. You need someone who can help you learn how to exhort people to grow stronger in the Lord. You need someone around you who is merciful and sensitive to people's emotional hurts so they can help you be sensitive to those hurts too. You need someone around you who is skilled at the gift of serving to get the practical things done in the body of Christ that need to be done and to help you be tuned into that. You certainly need someone who has the gift of giving. You need someone who has the gift of organizing. We need all the gifts at work in the body of Christ. And you, as a pastor, are going to be the most likely one to help make sure that happens. So we need all the gifts and make sure you're surrounded with people who have the gifts so you can complement each other in getting the work done. Number 24. When you've done your best to prepare and preach a message that you believe God intended for you to preach, don't allow yourself to be discouraged by your emotions or by a lack of outward response after the message. I think some of us struggle more with this than others. I know there have been many, 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 many times in my life when I have taught a lesson or I preached a sermon and afterwards, I just feel awful. I think, oh man, I didn't do very well. I didn't communicate that very well. I messed up pretty badly. And Satan just kind of beats me up with that. Some of you can probably identify with this. And what you have to do is get past that where you realize, hey, if I've done my best to pray this thing through and to study and to ask God to help me deliver it, to ask Him to fill me with His Spirit, then it doesn't matter how I feel about it. I may feel really good or I may feel really bad. That's irrelevant. I may not like the results I'm hearing. I may not like the response I'm getting. That's out of my control. The results are up to God. So if Satan tends to beat you up after a message because you don't see the results you'd like to have or you don't feel the way you'd like to feel about it, see where it's coming from, understand where it's coming from, and do the spiritual warfare and just leave the results in God's hands. He knows what He's doing. Number 25 underlines things we've already said. Stay humble enough to recognize that you have a lot to learn from others. Watch out for arrogance. Keep growing in the Lord. Now listen carefully. Take me seriously here. It's very difficult for us to see arrogance in ourselves. We can see it in other people. We have trouble seeing it when it's in us. And of course the problem is we don't often feel arrogant. We just feel like we know what we're doing. We feel like God's in control. We feel like we're submitted to Him. We feel like we're doing the right thing, and other people just don't understand. But to other people, it can look very arrogant. So beg your wife and then maybe some other people around you to be ruthless with you. You know, say things like this: I don't even want to look arrogant. I don't want to sound arrogant. I don't want to say anything that even reminds people that I might be full of pride and arrogance. I want to conquer this thing. Now, I know, listen, I know there's a false humility, and a lot of preachers have it, and they learn how to sound humble with their words and kind of whine a little bit. Everybody sees through that. You need to look for genuine humility, and people can help you find it. If you're coming across with a fake humility, ask them to help you see that too. Arrogance will destroy your ministry. I'm telling you, it will destroy it, and you don't want to go there. There are too many men there. And don't you dare pull out that card that says, "Touch not mine anointed," as if you're above criticism, as if nobody can tell you what to do because you're God's man. That's arrogance. Don't go there. A humble man is teachable. And God will use people in your life to help you see what you need to see if you're willing to do it. If you've got an arrogance problem, you're in trouble, you need to have it conquered. You need to submit to God and let Him break that down. God hates pride. He exalts the humble.